Ron Van Dam, a man, a microphone, and a complete lack of conversational filters. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I swear it is. Look, I'm raising my hand. My other hand's on the Bible. I am Ron Van Dam. I don't know why I put my other hand on the Bible. I could have put it on War and Peace or Men Are From Venus, Women Are From Mars. Or do they have the backwards? Are the women from Venus and the men are from Mars? I don't even know. Okay, fine. Good to be with you. How are you? Good to see you. All right, look, here's the deal. This is going to not take too long. If you had something else to do and you were wondering, should I really listen to this crap? Well, you should. It's not going to take long. I guarantee you, by the time it's over, you won't be injured in any way mentally. So, you know, let's get real. How are you? Good to be with you on this fine day. Look, I do this thing as if it's just you and me, because I don't like a lot of people at once. So I make believe it's just you and me. Now, the numbers show that that's, you know, a lot more people are listening than just you. But I make believe it's just you. I remember an interview with Captain Kangaroo. I know. I didn't do the interview. Someone else did. And I remember the interview. Do you even know who Captain Kangaroo is? Millennials, raise your hand if you know who Captain Kangaroo is. One hand in the air, the other one on the Bible. Come on, let's see it. Captain Kangaroo was a children's TV host. He did a show for decades and decades back in the late 50s and 60s, and I think into the 70s, maybe the 80s, who knows. And he was it was an interview, and they said, Captain, what do you consider your success with the Captain Kangaroo show? And he said, I do it as if I'm just talking to one child. But Captain, you have like hundreds and thousands and millions of children watching the show, don't you? Don't you understand that? Don't you? He says, no. When I do a show, it's just me talking to one child. Captain, that is so, wow, that is like so deep. So I do the show as if I'm talking to one child as well. So one child, if you're listening, get the hell off my lawn. You have your own lawn. There's no reason for you to be on my lawn. I don't want to find your balls all over my lawn when you're playing, you know, with your kids, with your friends. Stay off my lawn. It's my property. If you were to slip and fall on my grass, I could get my ass sued. So stay off my lawn, you little tiny human. Go play on your own lawn. Your parents have an own, don't they have a lawn? Go play on their lawn. What the hell are you doing on my lawn? What the hell's wrong with you? Don't you see the property lines on the map? If you go to the town hall, kid, you'll see the property lines. Get off of my lawn. I might have a shotgun in the house, and I'll blow your pants off. I don't, and I wouldn't do that, but the threat is pretty cool. So I do my show as if I'm talking to one child as well. That was probably a pathetic opening to the program, but at least now we know what the rules are. You know, sometimes I think that this show is nothing but complaining, but, you know, then I realize that's all you really do as well. You know, don't be so high on your horse. I don't know how high your horse is, or if it's just a donkey. I don't really know you that well, but get off your high horse, will you? All you do is complain as well. Oh, yeah. When I talk to people, you know, I just how are you doing? How are you today? Oh, I'm okay. My back hurts, though. I'm going to go in for surgery next week, and I don't know. My diet. See, all you do is complain. All I did was ask you how you are, you know. And if you're not going into specifics about your back surgery, then you say, well, how are you feeling today? Oh, all right. You know, at least I'm, above the ground, so to speak. So all I did was ask you how you were, and you responded by saying, well, I'm not dead. I mean, come on, man. All you do is complain as well. Don't turn it around on me just because I have a vocal talk show. But all I do is complain, because I have noticed as I get older, and that happens to everybody, as I get older, I notice that the people around me are legitimately stupid. I'm sorry. I don't think I'm one of those people. I could be to somebody else. But to me, everybody else is legitimately stupid. Yeah, they are. So we all complain. I got plenty to complain about. Now, here's what's going on here. My significant other, my lovely lady, likes to travel. I don't, because I get pissed off at everything too much. I'm not a real joy to be with in a happy situation. I'm sorry. This I know about myself. This I know is true. I think that's a passage in the Bible as well. And this I know is true, or something like that. Haven't read the Bible recently. You know, not the kind of thing where... Hey, have you read any good books lately? Yeah, I'm reading the Bible. Have you read that? It's long, but it's full of stuff. Some of the stories they tell, you'll laugh your ass off. I know it couldn't happen. You know it couldn't happen, but it's very convincing for a lot of people. I'm joking. There are many people I know who are really into the Bible. That's nice. Okay. Now, anyway, yeah, she loves to travel, so she travels with tour groups, which is nice. It's nice. She traveled the world, actually. She got very, very upset because she booked a trip to Portugal through a company. I won't say the name of the company. Begins with gate and ends with one. Very popular travel company. So they booked a flight for her, and she realized, well, the flight that you booked me is like a 12-hour layover at JFK. That ain't going to happen. So she dials the number of the place on what we call the telephone, and she gets the automated answering thing. Welcome to, if you have a problem with a trip that you already are booked on, please push 2. She pushes 2. Then there's a recording, and it says there is a hold time involved. Your approximately hold time is 2 hours and 15 minutes. What? Your hold time is 215 minutes? Then the recording says, quite nicely, if you care not to hold, and who would? Well, I got nothing to do for 2 hours and 15 minutes. I'll listen to some music repeating itself for 2 hours and 15 minutes until it drives me nuts. They give you the option if you want, they'll call you back when you're next in turn anyway, so you don't have to hold. You know, okay, fine. So we push the button, but still, pissed off, you know? 2 hours and 15 minutes hold time? I've already got a trip booked with you. Do you understand? I've already given you money. I'm a client. I've given you a lot of money. for a trip, and then we call you up to try to fix something, and your response is, I'm a little busy. Can you wait 2.5 hours? No. That's bad. I don't care if you're the phone company or Verizon or a travel company or an electric company or cable. I don't care what you are. You don't put anybody on hold for 2 hours. If you do, the answer is you don't have enough people. And how can it be every time you call one of these numbers, the response is, due to high call volume, there'll be a wait. The high call volume, according to you and your little answering machine, goes on every day. Hire more people. And here's a little thing you might want to know, too. This is something that the people can do from home. They can do it from home. There's no reason why you can't hire more people. You know what the reason is? Because you don't want to pay people more money to be an employee. I don't care if we have customers. Let them wait. Fuck them. That's the attitude. I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't like that. I wait 2 hours. No return call. I call again. The recording comes on. Your wait time, we're busy. Sorry. Thank you for giving us money, but we're busy. We will call you back in 2 hours and 5 minutes. Oh, okay, that's not so long now. Before it was over, it was 2 hours and 15 minutes. Now it's only down to 2:05. Well, okay. I wait 2 hours and 5 minutes. I wait 3 hours. I wait 4 hours. I wait 5 hours. No return phone call at all. I'm pissed. The next business day, I call again. Dial the number, same recording.
Well, it works, but this is a high call volume.
Your wait time is 1 hour and 53 minutes. Ooh, I guess it's really slow. Guess not that many people are online today. Well, this time they call me back after 2 hours and 10 minutes. So we ask the question, we have a flight problem here. The layover is like almost 12 hours at JFK. To fly from Boston to JFK, you got to wait 12 hours to get on the plane going to Portugal. That's not acceptable. That's ridiculous. And the person on the phone says, with this travel company, says, well, I'm going to have to put you through to the airline people. Our screens are slow, and we have a separate phone number for the... No, cancel the trip. And we did. I am so, I wouldn't say upset, I am just perturbed. I will not wait on hold that long for any company for any reason. And if I do, I'm not going to play the passive role of a consumer that says, well, I guess they're really busy. No. I will call the corporate headquarters, ask for the president, CEO, or his or her sibling, and I will give them an earful of Ron. And believe me, an earful of Ron is more than most people can consume in a week. You don't want an earful from me. You don't want a mouthful. You don't want an earful. You don't want a noseful. You don't want a crotchful, that's for sure. But I will dish it out because I have the time to do it. It's awful. I canceled a credit card 6 months ago because I had a question about a charge. And I pressed the proper number. Press 5 if you have something going on here. I pressed 5, and your wait time is 72 minutes. Your number 15 in the queue, something like that. You know, they're trying to be nice by keeping me updated about how inconvenienced I am. Well, when I finally got through, I said to them, you know, there are other credit card companies, probably they're offering better deals than you are. Cancel my card.
Why, Mr. Van Dam? Why would you want to cancel? You've been a member for 15 years without a card. Why would you want to cancel?
Because I called and I was put on hold forever. And I don't get put on hold forever. I expect customer service to be at least decent. And,
well, the hold time usually isn't that long.
But it was. And I canceled the card. And I went to another card that had a better deal for me. So you be careful, you little companies out there. If you get people like me, you're going to lose business. And it's about time that most of America started not getting angry, not violent. Oh, I no violence, no shouting, no cursing. Just a simple, I'm sorry, I'm going to cancel because your customer service is not up to par as far as my standards are concerned.
I shall be departing you at this time. It's been a lot of fun, but you have not been providing me the service of which I expect from you. Was it Macbeth that said, out damn spot? Well, out damn you. You have maligned me. You have taken advantage of my fine customer satisfaction. And I will not tolerate you or anybody from your little company there maligning my good name in order to throw me to the side like a piece of meat to the wolves, figuring, well, there's a schmuck, they'll just hang on, I don't have to even look at them. Well, you must bat an eyelash when it comes to myself. Now, what are you going to do about it? Because you are facing cancellation. And you are also facing a little trip to the computer, to the social media outlet of which I use. So, what would you like to do about this? Huh?
See, I did that in such a nice way. I even did it with a British accent to sound more civilized. Sometimes I get my way. Sometimes I don't. If I don't, I cancel because there's other people, there's other companies that can serve me. I use a British accent every once in a while for various reasons. The British sound like they've got it more together than the Americans. They kind of really do. The American accent is not exactly a romantic thing. Oh, baby, I love you. I got to tell you right now, I love you. That is not romantic. When the French say I love you, I want to tell you that I think you are wonderful and fantastic and I love you, honey, and the way you move, oh, that is, oh, so nice, so good to you. That's romantic. The British just sound more civilized, you know, like,
you know, you are a little piece of squirming slug meat, and I don't really care for the likes of you in any sense of the word, to be honest with you. I find you to be horribly ridiculous and not something that I will have in the spectrum of my existence. So, as a result, I will part company with you now, and I wish you very well, and tally-ho, and hope you do well, and it's been nice chatting with you. Thank you so much.
So civilized, yet they blew you off big time. I should have used that when I was dating when I was younger, you know. When I wanted to break up with a girl because she was just incredibly annoying. And sometimes you don't know if they're incredibly annoying until you've been with them for a period of time. Of course, the same goes for guys. They often are even more incredibly annoying. But I wish I did the British accent when I was breaking up with these women who were incredibly annoying. you know, rather than saying, you know, I got to break up with you. I can't stomach you anymore. We're just not compatible. You know, it's me. It's not you. It's me. I can't tolerate you. So it's me. So breaking up. Here's a couple of bucks to pay for the dinner. Nah, see you.
There's such a nice way to do it if you'd used a British accent.
I've been thinking, Margaret. I don't think that the possibility of us really going much further down this road makes any real sense at this time. So I'm going to back away at this moment, and it's been pleasurable. I blame myself, but you know, well, that's what I would say anyway, no matter what. So, tally-ho to you, and here's a couple of dollars to pay for whatever meal you are consuming at this time. So, in any event, I'm sure you'll be fine with this. I know I am. So, enjoy. Bye-bye now. Bye-bye.
Then your voice just, like, trickles off, you know, like... to the point where they say, oh, excuse me, what did you just say?
I didn't say anything. I just...
I tend to mumble as well. I use mumbling in order to get my point across without you exactly understanding what I said. It works really well. I've mastered the art of mumbling to the point where I'll make sure you hear some of what I'm saying so that you get the point, but I'll mumble the rest so that you're still in question as to what the hell's going on, but you pretty much get where I'm coming from. I like that mumbling thing. You have to be able to control your volume and the way that the words come out. That's a mumbling expert. And maybe I should open up a mumbling school. Oh, yeah. Even the word mumbling is so funny. All right, ladies and gentlemen. I was going to have a guest today, but then I realized by looking at the time clock, because I won't go like a second over 30 minutes here, because I have things to do, too. It's not just you. You know, I also have a life. I'm not saying what kind it is or how great it may be. I'm just saying I got one. So I got other things to do. I mean, I have to pick up my dry cleaning. I think, if I heard correctly while I was doing the show, that the washer cycle is over. I have to put my clothes in the dryer before they wrinkle. These are important things. I think there's a kid on my lawn. I got to take care of that right away and let that kid know exactly where it stands. All right, before we leave, what month is this, by the way? Is it July already? Wow, that's crazy, man. I live in the Boston area. It's like too hot. It's 80 degrees every day. I mean, it's in the 80s. It's anywhere between 80 and 90 degrees. That's too hot. I shouldn't be sweating just as a matter of course. That's not right. It's too hot. And everybody says, go outside, enjoy the good weather, enjoy the summer. What? It's too hot. That's not enjoyable. How's that enjoyable? I don't like sweating. I'm sitting in a chair and sweating. What are you talking about? Enjoy the summer. Ron, don't you like to go to the beach?
No.
It's wet. There's no trees on the beach. It's direct sunlight. I don't tan. I purple. No, I don't do the beach. There's all kinds of things in the beach. There's a new, I saw on the news last night, and this seriously, there's a jellyfish. I mean, I thought jellyfish were like a good-sized creature. They're disgusting looking. I hate the jellyfish. Even worse, the peanut butter fish. Whoa. That was a horrible joke, by the way. These jellyfish are the size of a dime. Okay, now there's a jellyfish in the ocean, and now I can't even see them because they're transparent and they're really small. so I can't even, like, see them now? And apparently these little dime-sized jellyfish sting as much as the gigantic jellyfish. Go in the ocean? No, there's things living in there. Are you kidding me? There's animals in that thing. I've talked about this before. The ocean doesn't want you there. If you go into it, it'll spit you out back onto the beach and never in the same place that you entered. It'll screw with your mind, and it's got undertow. Tow is bad enough. Undertow is even worse. It'll pull you out to sea, drown you, and then throw you back up on the beach as a carcass. It's awful. A carcass? What? Excuse me? What are you talking about? Anyway, summer is not... All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm through complaining. I've spent almost a half an hour doing this, and it's time to release you back to your society, such as it is. So, until next time, which will be probably Monday, I wish you peace. Thank you for being here. This is going to cost you big time. Oh, yeah. How did you enjoy the program today?
It was unbelievably painful.